But what you're saying, and I've heard this also from investigators, first of all, up until now, people have been saying if a patient relapses on OC or they get, you know, erlotinib and T790, whatever, they get chemo without a checkpoint inhibitor, get a checkpoint inhibitor later. And just as you said, what I'm starting to hear people talk about is the combination of chemo plus checkpoint inhibitor in these EGFR or targetable patients.
I mean, that's where I'm at now. I mean, because we know that in your example, if you're on OC or, you know, take alectinib for that matter, you know, once you exhaust the best TKI therapies we have, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to give them platinum doublet chemotherapy. And I think the natural question is, boy, if the new standard in first-line non-small cell lung cancer is platinum doublet chemo plus a checkpoint, shouldn't I be offering that to my patient with an EGFR alteration who I'm moving into the chemo realm now? The quick answer is we don't know. The only data we have is from IMpower 150 with the Atezo and Bev. But there are other studies in progress. In fact, we're doing a study with Shirishka Gill from the University of Michigan and my colleague Melissa Johnson at Sarah Cannon here. We're now looking at 189 following standard EGFR TKI or ALK TKI directed therapy. You get 189 basically.
And what's 189?
189 is the KEYNOTE-189 study of carboplatin, pemetrexed, and pembrolizumab, or CP squared is what we often refer to as.
CP squared. I like that. CP squared.
I didn't come up with it. I heard others say that. It's kind of corny.
Like it. I've not heard that. CP squared. Yeah, I like that. Okay, so just to clarify, though, you know, you have all these reimbursement, regulatory issues squirming around, but I think I hear you saying that you would be maybe favoring CP squared, carbo, pem, and pembrolizumab for a patient with, say, EGFR, ALK, progressing on targeted therapy, even though really the data is with the carbo, paclitaxel, bev, atezolizumab.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, recognizing fully that we don't have data for that. You know, it does come down to that comfort level of big user of bevacizumab and $45.99 at one time, and then pemetrexed and bevacizumab. I just, for me, because that's the regimen I tend to use the most often right now, and maybe next year I won't, carboplatin, pemetrexed, and pembrolizumab for me is my non-squamous regimen. That's what I often use, what I'm most comfortable with. And I think for a patient off study who's progressing on a TKI and I'm moving into chemotherapy, that's the regimen I would choose for them. But if my colleague here or across the world thought that carboplatin, paclitaxel, bevacizumab, and atezolizumab is the regimen that they want to use, I think that's great. We have data that says that's a good strategy to choose. So I don't see a problem. And that really has nothing to do with cost and comfort level. The regimen looks safe. It's just I choose this other regimen at this point.
I can remember, I think it was a couple of years ago, like joke around at meetings and say that lung cancer is the new breast cancer.
Hey, now.
But anybody who's listened to the last hour of our discussion would know that breast cancer was never like this, never. This is wild.
Well, it's funny with breast cancer is, you know, they just hit their first phase 3 study in triple negative breast cancer with paclitaxel and atezo. But even the breast cancer doctors, and I won't point them out, I know a few, they're not so excited about it. And, you know, I'm like, come on, guys, you know, you're like 3 years behind, but it's hit. You should be excited about it and talk about other ways to develop.
I wasn't even talking about checkpoint inhibitors. I was just talking about the amount of change and the rapidity of change and the new data. And like, you know, it's really totally amazing. Yes.
Let me just say one thing about that, because it's going to continue to happen over the next couple of years with a lot of new data. So I'm a little concerned about a couple of things. One is that these early looks, interim analyses, and presentations, we heard about another positive study for carboplatin, pemetrexed, and atezo in non-squamous lung cancer. And what we heard is the PFS is positive, but the interim OS is not positive. But you know, Neil, in time, these things can change. Look at 21G, Corey Langer study, you know, a study that had no hint of OS advantage and then later did, and then was proven in 189. I think we can get swayed sometimes by early looks and presentations that, and there's a lot of reasons for that enthusiasm. But the other thing that bothers me is when you look at a study like 042, a study at first glance, at a press release glance, looks great. Looks like it hit all its endpoints, hence a plenary session. But when you dig into the data, even at a presentation level, not at a manuscript level, you know, you start to see some concerns about the way things look. And it's important to look at these studies in more detail and understand what the pros and cons are. I'm the first to tell you that I get excited about something like Keynote 407, where we jump into squamous lung cancer, and I told you it's a new standard of care, and yet I haven't seen the full data set. You know, you got to temper some of that. I'm guilty of being too excited and ready to use that in my patients. And at the same time, I recognize there could be something hidden there that we don't know. So we got to give time for these trials to mature and learn about where they belong in the kind of sequence of therapy. But you're right, it's a lot of stuff. Everything's coming out quickly. It's hard to keep up with, even if you focus on lung cancer.